96 in their pew Bibles or 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'm going to be reading out of 2 Timothy chapter 4, and I'm going to be reading the first five verses of that. And again, if you're using the pew Bibles in front of you, it is page 996, and I'm going to be reading out of the ESV version. This is Paul writing to Timothy, a young pastor in Ephesus, and he says, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but have itching ears. They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry."
Well, we've been in Japan a long time as missionaries, and the Northfield Evangelical Church has stuck with us for 30 years or more. Violet first came here before she got married to me, and through a friend, she got in contact with this church, and you have faithfully supported and prayed for us. And we want to praise the Lord for what he has done in Japan. We have a church that is going great by Japanese Christian standards. We have a growing congregation. We have a building. The bank loans on the building are paid off, and we have a full-time pastor. We're going back to help the church in a process of reproducing, because a healthy church plants daughter churches and continues the outreach going. It doesn't stop with itself. But we look at the Japanese standards, and sometimes we compare that with what's happening in China or Africa, and it's not as exciting by numbers. I read a book recently where talked about in China, a Bible study of five people met, and the leader of that Bible study said to those other four people, "You go out and start a Bible study like this." And within a few years, they had 1 million Christians. 1 million people came to Christ. We don't see that kind of exciting thing happening in Japan. But the Lord is working there, and it sometimes works slower. We would say that our spiritual results are more like Afghanistan, without the violence, of course. We met a missionary couple from there last month, and they talked about the hiding in their kitchen cupboards when the terrorists were coming by, and knowing when to leave the scene when they felt like they might be attacked. But Japan is very peaceful, and it gives you this maybe false concept of peace and everything's okay. But when you realize that every year over 30,000 Japanese take their life because they lack any hope, you realize it's not really peaceful. It just looks that way. And so it's a rough field, and we've been working in Japan for 30 years, and before that my parents were there, and I know missionaries that were there back in the 1800s, and it's always been, what do we need to do? Well, the Lord's working in spite of it, and what happens is you see churches developing slowly, but in that process we need to not get discouraged. We need to keep on going. And these instructions that Paul wrote to Timothy make a lot of sense to me that were just read from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 5. And I found four good exhortations to us in that passage that I should obey when I do evangelism, when I seek to do evangelism. And these would be prayer requests from us for you to pray for us as we finish up our work in Japan. We have one more term, at least. And I hope that you pray for each other and for yourselves, ask the Lord to help you remember these four exhortations, because I think they really apply also in the context in the United States today as well. Let's look back at verse 1. I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, at his appearing and his kingdom. From verse 1, we realize we need to remember who's really in charge. Jesus Christ is neither American nor Japanese nor African nor Chinese. I have to remind my Japanese friends and myself, I was raised in Japan, I grew up in Japan, I kind of understand the culture, and the language comes very naturally to me, and they'll come up and say, oh, you understand us Japanese so well, and you know how we do things. And I have to remind myself, and sometimes then, that Jesus Christ is neither American nor Japanese, but he is the one who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Today we're infiltrated with secular humanism and political correctness. We're told that that's the truth, and all around in our culture today, and Japan is no exception. And that position would claim to be the moral and worldview authority and religious authority and tell us what to do. We need to remind them, remind those that take that position, that according to their worldview, because they believe in eons and eons and life coming about by chance and molecules to man evolution, that their very temporary existence, according to what they believe, they don't have a good perspective on reality. They don't really know what is right and wrong and what is truth and false. We have the one who judged the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, Christ Jesus. He is our authority. And one time I was blogging or texting on the internet with a guy who was an atheist, and I said, I asked him, what makes you my moral authority? He was very polite. He backed off. He realized that he wasn't, because he's a temporary existence according to what he believes, and he really doesn't have that perspective. Jesus Christ is the one who has all perspective, all authority, and all power. We need to remember he's in charge. And if we do that first, then we know what to do, don't we? We can't give up, because he gave the command, go into all the world and preach the gospel. The next point I'd like to think of is verse 2, where it says, preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching carefully. When we preach the word, we're not basing our preaching on present circumstances nor on our audience. We may change how we do it based on our audience, but the message stays the same. When there is no response, we feel like quitting. But it didn't say quit after a while. It said preach the word and be at it until I return. Some say to preach only to the ones that are searching. And I have some Japanese pastors that will say, well, just don't bother with those people over there. They're just probably not chosen. I say, wait a minute. How do you know that? Mark 16:15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not every open ear. Every creature. And if you're in doubt about the humanity of the person you're preaching to, it says creature here, so you give Jesus Christ the benefit of the doubt. You need to preach to every creature, and they need to hear the word, and you want to make it in a way, package it in a way that they understand. The Lord didn't tell us to put limits on who we tell the gospel to. They may be good people. We know a lot of good people in Japan that don't know the Lord, and they may be bad people, and some of the best response to the gospel I've ever seen is when I've preached in a jail in Columbia, South Carolina. They may be very scientific, or they may be very superstitious. I find a lot of people who think they're scientific are really very superstitious, and vice versa. They may be very intelligent people, and you want to be very philosophical with them and talk about all the bases of this and everything. And I tend to enjoy doing that, you know, get all your apologetics right and help them understand the reasonableness of the gospel and the biblical worldview. Or you might be talking to the more simple-minded, where you really just need to say how Jesus really cares for them, and to know the difference. But remember to keep preaching the word. And then the next point, verses 3 and 4, which are kind of bad news, but it says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables or myths." They want you to tell them what they want to hear. I talk to Buddhist priests in Japan a lot, and they're the first ones to admit that they have trouble reaching the Japanese with true Buddhism, because the Japanese have itching ears. They want to hear something that makes them feel good or makes things easy for them. A Buddhist priest by the name of Shindan, who started the sect of Jodo Shinshu, was very smart. He went over to India to study Buddhism and found some Nestorian Christians there and found the word, you know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, and sort of said, hey, that sounds like a good idea. If I mix that with Buddhism and bring it to the Japanese, it might sell. Well, it did. It did quite well. Jodo Shinshu is a very popular sect of Buddhism in Japan, because all they have to do basically is chant the name Amida Nyorai, Amida Butsu, Namu Amida Butsu, and if they get that done, then they have their ticket to heaven. The Japanese want to have their ears tickled rather than hear the truth. His idea so well, but the trouble is, though, that is the invention of one man's mind to please people. It has nothing to do with the truth and doesn't bring them to Christ. Our goal is to glorify God, not please people. So whether they respond or not, whether they want to, we keep on preaching the word, and sometimes it's not accepted well. The Bible says that's a given. And finally, in verse 5, it says, "But you be watchful in all things." And in the NIV, it says, "Keep your head in all situations. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry." I like the phrase, "keep your head." I don't know why the NIV translators use that, but keeping your head means don't blow up. Don't get all upset. Keep your cool. And we remember to keep your cool as you're preaching. We have to remember to do that in Japan. Anger, fear, and taking offense will get you nowhere. They will use your anger as an excuse not to heed the gospel, and Christians in the host culture will not cooperate with you very well if you act in ways that don't fit in their culture, even if what you're saying and your cause is right. The Apostle Paul said that he did all things so that he might win some. And that's the also an important thing. And I think when we are facing the enemy, we need to keep our cool. And I see so, even the political races right now, you watching the candidates, I hear a lot of anger and name-calling. I don't think that's glorifying to God, and it doesn't really get your point across. It just polarizes everything. And so those are my four good exhortations from the Word that I hope that we can pray for each other about and work together about. And through that process, we can really bring glory to our Lord Jesus Christ and get the gospel out. Let me go through them one more time. Remember who's in charge. Jesus Christ is in charge. Remember to keep preaching the Word. Everybody needs to hear it. Remember that they might have their minds already made up and don't want to be confused with the truth. And remember in all things to keep your cool, knowing that Jesus Christ is still on the throne and he's going to work it all out. I want to go ahead and close with prayer. We have communion here, and as we have communion, think about the ultimate sacrifice that our Lord made for us. And that's why he is worthy, above all, to be the judge of the living and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, which we look forward to. And it looks like it's coming nearer. I'm excited about that. I hope you are too. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have not left us without your word, that you have given us the command to preach the gospel. And although the process might be discouraging and slow, we need to remember that you're in charge, that everyone needs to hear, that even when they're not listening, you're with us, and you will bring at least a remnant in that will hear your word. I want to thank you and praise you for what you've done in our church in Japan. You've brought it together. You've given us a congregation of people who want to follow you. And I want to thank you and praise you for this church who have faithfully prayed for us and supported us these past 30 years. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.